Today's daf is Menachos Daf Samach Tes. Today's shir is sponsored by Chutzar Refor Shleima for Sarah Rivka Bas Hindaleya Shishav Refor Shleima Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. So we are way back on Daf Samach Tes and Beis. I apologize for missing yesterday's shir and thank Alicia very much for filling in last second without any preparation. So we are holding out the Mishnah on Daf Samach Tes and Beis. That's where we're going to pick up from. The Mishnah on Daf Samach Tes and Beis. And we're going to discuss a number of exciting topics today. The Mishnah is going to discuss at what point the grain became mutter for Hedyot, at what point the grain becomes mutter, the Tvua Chadasha becomes mutter, Legavoa. We're going to tell a story about how Rabbi Yehuda bar Nechemya took a certain pride in showing that before the Shtei Alechem, before the Shtei Alechem, since the grain is Hutar Michlal LeHedyot, it's kosher, but then he died young because he took pride in being able to show that he knew something that other people did not know, and Rabbi Kiva was makbid about that. Then the Gemara is going to bring several rayos that the Omer is from Sa'orim and is not brought from Chitim. How do we know that the Korban Omer is brought from Sa'orim? We're going to have three possibilities. They're going to have several shilas that are raised about some sort of processes that grain goes through and that other things can go through that may change what it is. It may change how we define it. A shiloh whether the development of leaves can signify the hashrasha of a plant. Then we're going to have a shiloh about harvested grain that you put back in the ground before the Korban Omer. Do we consider it like karka, or do we consider it like you just put it in a container? The ground is like its container. We're going to discuss kernels found in animal excrement, and can they be subject to Tumas Ochlin, and can they be brought for a korban? And we're going to discuss if there's replanted growth, can that be brought for a korban? Where the Gemara is going to discuss if an elephant swallows reeds, and there's a shaila that when it's excreted, they're considered like, and you make kalim out of it, is that considered like clay galalim because it's elephant excrement, or do we consider it like a regular clay because it's made out of reeds that came out, just happened to be that it came out of the elephant? The Gemara is going to discuss if an animal Rahman al-Tzlan eats a child and the animal excretes the flesh of the child, is that tameh? What about the bones of the child? Is that tameh? Or do we say no, it's animal excrement now, it's no longer considered a human remains? We're going to have a shaila about wheat that comes down in clouds. Can it be used for shtei alechem? It doesn't grow from the ground, or as far as we know, well, it just came down in clouds. Are you allowed to use that as shtei alechem? And the Gemara is going to discuss, the last discussion is going to be grain that's uprooted after it's one-third grown and Korban Omer happened, and then you replanted it. So is the new growth considered chadash? So we're going to bring rayas from different places, from Arla and Kilei Kerem. Do you follow Basar Iker? Do we follow Basar the new growth? Okay, so a lot to cover today. So let's begin the Mishnah, Samech Chesem Beis. Ha'omer Yamatir B'Medina, the Korban Omer that was brought on the second day of Pesach was matir all the new grain b'medina, everywhere except for the Mikdash, Shtei Alechem b'Mikdash, and the Shtei Alechem was matir the new grain in the Mikdash to be brought from Karbanos. Only once the Shtei Alechem was brought can you bring Karbanos from the new grain. Ein mevin menachos bikurim minchas behema kodem laomer v'imhevi pasul. Now you're not allowed to bring Karbanos from the new grain before the Korban Omer, and if you did even before the Korban Omer, it's going to be possible. Kodem shtei alechem lo yavi, you're also not allowed to bring from the new grain, carbon from the new grain before the shtei alechem. That was the first halach we said in the Mishnah, but it may be kosher. If at least the Korban Omer has passed, then it would be kosher if you did bring from the new grain, even though you were not allowed to do that. So Yasser Rabbi Tarfon Kokoshele, Rabbi Tarfon had the following difficulty. Ma bein kodem lo omer le kodem shtei alechem. Why should it be that if the shtei alechem is matir, the new grain to be used for a carbon, why is it that if you bring a carbon from new grain before the omer, it's pasul, but before the shtei alechem, it's kosher b'di'evet? The omer has nothing to do with the new grain vis vis-a-vis karbanos. So I'm in the fun of Yehuda bar Nechemya. So Yehuda bar Nechemya said, after Rabbi Tarfon had the shayla, Yehuda bar Nechemya said, lo, imamarta kodum la omer, shekin lo hutar michal lo etzel hedyot. No, before the karban omer, it wasn't even mutter for a hedyot to eat. So tomer kodum la shtei alechem, shutum michal lo etzel hedyot. But before the shtei alechem, after the karban omer, at least the hedyot was allowed to eat it. So such an isser is not as significant an isser, because it was at least mutter la hedyot, and therefore it's going to be, it's the isser is not going to be ma'akev b'di'evet. So Shasik Rabbi Tarfon did not respond, meaning Rabbi Yehuda bar Nechemya had this very good point about the difference between grain before the Karban Omer and grain before the Shtei Alechem. So Rabbi Yehuda bar Nechemya felt good about himself. He was able to outsmart Rabbi Tarfon. Amar lo Rabbi Kiva, Yehuda, Tzavu panecha sheshatnes hazakein, tmehaniyim tarich yamin. You're taking pride about the fact that you were able to respond to a shaila that a zakein had. I wonder if you're going to have an arichas yamin. Amar Rabbi Rabbi Loi also perek prosa pesachaya. That happened to have been 2 weeks before Pesach. Kishalisi la'atzeres, when I went back on Shavuos, sha'alti achrav Yehuda ben Nechemya heichanu. I went to look after him to see where is Yehuda ben Nechemya. Va'amr li niftar v'halachlo, and they told me he already passed away. Apparently, the curse of Rabbi Akiva was fulfilled. So the Archos Yosher Chaim Kanievsky says from Lashon the Gemara, it sounds like Rabbi Tarfon wasn't even offended. I mean, he wasn't, that it never says anywhere that Rabbi Tarfon, it was Rabbi Akiva was offended on behalf of Rabbi Tarfon, or Rabbi Akiva was unhappy with the way Yehuda ben Nechemya answered. And he says, a little bit harsh, no? Here was a person who was obviously a very great Talmud Chacham. He could have been a manik of Yisrael, so you're going to punish him, you're punishing the whole Klal Yisrael by taking away such a person without any real reason. He didn't even offend anyone. So Rabbi Chaim suggests that Adrabah, because he was such a great person, because he was a Tanan and Adam Gadol, and he was destined to be one of the Manhige Adar, and thousands of Talmidim would learn from him. So once you're Margish or Midah Ra'a in such a person, that he's Meschabed B'klon Rabosav, that he enjoys Kavod at the expense of his Rebbeim, so that Midos are very difficult to change, and such a Midah would taint the Torah that he would give over to thousands of Talmidim. If your Rebbe is like a Malach Hashem Tzvakos, the Gemara says, then you mivakish Torah mipiv. Then you look for Torah from such a person. But if he doesn't have the proper midos, then we're not mivakish Torah mipiv. We don't look for Torah from such a person. So the curse of Rabbi Akiva, in fact, was fulfilled, and he didn't make it until Shavuos. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, L'divrei Yehuda ben Nechemya. According to Yehuda ben Nechemya, who holds that something that's mutar lehedyot, b'diyeved would be mutar legvoa, meaning as long as it's mutar lehedyot, at least b'diyeved it's mutar legvoa, nesachim bikurim, sheikrivim kodim la'omer, ksherin. If you have wine, you have grapes that ripen very early, and you are therefore able to take from wine that grew from the new year, and you use that as nesachim before the korban omer, it's kosher b'diyeved, because it's roi lehedyot, meaning you don't need a korban. The korban omer is matir the new grain. Wine doesn't need any heter. Wine you can have whenever it's ready. It's just not usually ready yet at that point in the year. So it would be no problem to bring the sachem from wine, from this year's wine, even before the Karban Omer. Says Mar Pshita, of course. Like, why would I think otherwise? So Mar says, no, Mal de Tema, Hasum Hututur Michalom Eitzel Hedyot. That only by the Mincha Chadasha before the Shtei Alechem were Matar B'diavad, because it went through a process of heter, meaning when the Karban Omer was brought, it was matir the Tzvua Chadasha, so it was like a statement of heter. But when it comes to the wine, there was nothing that was ever matir this wine. It was just always, it was born mutter. So there was nothing that ever happened. There was no there was no proactive statement of heter or action that was done that was matir it. So kamash mulan kol shekein hacha deloitzer klal. So kamash mulan, that obviously then it's going to be mutter because it never had an iser. That's a discussion that sometimes we say that dafka to go and be like the Kohen Gadol, that we're metame him dafka so that we can go through the process of tahara, that to actively be metaher is a greater level of tahara than to just never have been tame in the first place. So that's maybe the hava min over here, that kind of idea, that when something goes through an actual heter, that's a higher level of heter than that which was never usur in the first place. But kamash mulan, that no, when there's no isur, then there's heter. So bayram barcham shtei lechem moshe yatiru shalok sidron. Can the shtei lechem be matir? Can you bring a milcha chadash from the tvor chadash in the mikdash if the shtei lechem is matir shalok sidron? Meaning normally the omer is matir the grain first for a hedyot, and then comes the shtei lechem 7 weeks later, and it's matir for gavoa. So echidami, how could you have such a case that so what they flip Shavuos and Pesach that year? Like how do you have such a case that the shtei lechem is matir before the omer? So okay, very simple. Could go to zarinu beinomer l'shtei lechem. You plant the wheat in during Svira v'chalaf alayhu shtei lechem and v'omer, and then the shtei lechem happens after that grain was planted, and then the omer of the next year happens. So do we assume that you could bring a mincha that's made from these wheat right from this wheat right after the korban omer of the following year, or do you have to wait until the shtei lechem the following year? So my kisidron sharyon shalok sidron lo sharyon. Do we assume that it's only matir kisidron, or is it even matir when it's done out of order? So Amar Rabba Toshima will bring a raya. The pasuk says, "Vimtakriv minchas bikurim." What kind of mincha are we talking about? But minchas omer kasam medaber. It's talking about the minchas omer, which is brought in Pesach at the time of bikurim, at the time that the grain goes through its bikur. So mehechan ba'a, and what do we bring it from? The minchas omer minasaorin. It's brought from barley. Atom minasaorin. Well, how do you know? How do you know it's barley and that it's not wheat? So the Gemara is going to have the Brisa is going to have three possibilities, and from this Brisa, we're going to try to be poshet our shaila about whether the shtei lechem could be matir shalok sidron. But we have to get through the whole Brisa first. So three possibilities. How I know that the korban omer comes from sa'orim and not from chitim? Number one, Rabbi Lezer omer nemar avu b'mitzrayim v'nemar avu l'doros. It says by makas baran in Mitzrayim va'pishta va'sa'or. Describes why it is that Makas Barad had a certain effect on grains that were hardened and did not have the same effect on softer plants. That which is hard, it crushed under the force, and that which is softer was able to bend. But what does it say? That the Sa'ora Nukasa, because the Sa'ora was Aviv. So you see the word Aviv by Sa'ora, v'nemar av l'doros. It says Aviv by Mincha Sa'omer. It says in Takam Mincha Sa'omer Hashem Aviv Kali Ve'esh V'chulei. So Ma Aviv Amr Mitzrayim Sa'orin, Avav Amr Doros Sa'orin. Just like the Aviv it says by Mitzrayim is Sa'orin, the Aviv it says l'doros is also Sa'orin. So you see the Minchas Ha'omer comes from Sa'orin. Rabbi Kiva Amr Mitzinu Yachin Mevi Chavaso Minachitin. Rabbi Kiva says, Nah, it's a different place that we can learn out that the Korban Omer is from Sa'orin, because we do find that a yachid brings a korban mincha from chitin. A person brings an ani, brings a minchas chotei, he brings an asiris ha'efa of solas that's made from chitin. The chavasim and asarim, we also find sometimes that a yachid will bring a korban mincha from sa'orim. Not sometimes, by a sota, mincha sota, comes from Sa'orim. The Tzibur Shemavin Chavasan Minachitin. We find that Tzibur brings their Chiyuv from Chitin, meaning the Shtei Alechem comes from Chitin. So Mavin Chavasan Minasarin stands to reason that there's another Minchas Tzibur that's brought from Sa'orim. So Matomer Ba Minachitin Lamatzin Tzibur Shemavin Chavasan Minasarin. If the Omer was also Minachitin, then there would be no example of a Tzibur that brings from Sa'orim. That's the second possibility, how we know that the Korban Omer is brought from Sarim. Davar acher, ima ta omer ba minachitin, ein shtei lechem bikurim. That if you're going to say that the omer is from chitim, then the shtei lechem is not going to be bikurim. What does that mean? The shtei lechem is not going to be the first mincha that was brought from the bikurim of the tvua of the field, because the mincha sa'omer precedes it. It's brought from tvua chadasha, and the pasuk says, "Ubiyom bikurim ba'akrivchem mincha chadasha la'Hashem b'shavuos seichem." That the mincha the shtei lechem has to be the first mincha that you bring from the Bikurei Tvua HaChadasha. So you have to say that the Minchas HaOmer must be from Sa'orim, and that's why the pasuk makes sense, that the Mincha Shtei Alechem is the first Mincha that's brought from Chitim of the Tvua HaChadasha, that was Bikra V'Misa. So now the Gemara says, okay, now we can be poshet the Safek of Rami Bar Chama, because V'Misa D'Shtei Alechem Shlok Sidron Sharyon, if Shtei Alechem could even be Matir Shalok Sidron, that the Shtei Alechem could be Matir L'Gavola before the Omer of next year is Matir Lahediot. So then Mishkachasla, then we could find a case where the Shtei Alechem is the Mincha Rishona that comes from the Tvua Chadasha, even though the Korban Omer was also brought from Chitim. Why? The Makrav Omer Mehanach Nashosh Kodem L'Shtei Alechem U'Basar Omer D'Shtakid. You bring the Korban Omer from that which took root before the Shtei Alechem, but after last year's Korban Omer. And then Shtei Alechem, you bring the Shtei Alechem Mehanach Nashosh Kodem L'Omer D'Hashta U'Basar Shtei Alechem D'Shtakid. You bring the Shtei Alechem from this year's normal grain, the grain that took root before this year's Omer, but after last year's Shtei Alechem. And that way you'll be able to, so you have to say, from the fact that we don't give that as a possibility, that the Shtei Alechem is only Matir Kisidram. And the wheat that's planted, let's say in Chodesh Iyar of last year, during Svira of last year, is not Mutal Gvoa until the Shtei Alechem of this year. So the Omer and the Shtei Alechem are Matir, the same wheat. So that's why we know for sure, that's the Raya, the Raya says, since they're matir, the same wheat, it can't be that the Omer is brought from wheat, because the Shtei Alechem has to be from the first wheat. So says Gemara, mi savrit bikurim l'peiruk ha'aminan. Do you think that the pasuk means to say that the Shtei Alechem are the bikurim that are matir, all the chitim that are tali in them, and the whole idea is that the chitim should still be asal l'migdash? No, the mizbeach kamrinan. The Torah just makbid that the mizbeach should not consume the tavua of the new year before that krav of the shtei alechem. So if the omer were to be brought from wheat, va'achal mizbeach mipiri dahashata, it turns out that the mizbeach already ate from this year's wheat. So even if the Shtei Alechem is Matir Shloka Sidrom, you still wouldn't be able to bring the Omer Menachitim. And therefore, we cannot be poshet the Safek of Rami Bar Chama from the Braisa. The Safek remains a Safek, and that's why in Likutei Halachos, he writes that since Lo Nifshetahi Baya, Naktina L'Chumra, that you're not allowed to bring Menachos from them unless it's gone through the Shtei Alechem of this year as well. We never fully resolved this suffix. Okay, another suffix. By Rami Bar Chama on the top of Samach Tes Amud Aleph. Finally, in today's daf. By Rami Bar Chama, Shtei Alechem Hanotza Sharia or Hanotza Sharia. What's matir what is the Shtei Alechem matir? What stage of development does the grain have to be at in order for the Shtei Alechem to be matir? So Maya Hanotza Maya Hanotza. What do these terms mean? If we're asking about the hanata of the pri that grows in a tree, whether that has a din of chanata sapri in the sense that Shtei Alechem is matir l'gvo, all the peros that had the hanata before Shavuos, hanata means that the perach fell off. So hashta hashrosha sharia. Why is there any suffix? We find that by grain, the very fact that it took root is matir. The omer is matir for a hedyot, Shtei Alechem is matir for gvo. Any grain that's already taken root by that time, even if it hasn't grown at all. Hanatza v'chanata m'bayit, you need to tell me that Hanatza sapri has a din of chanata, and that the Shtei Alechem is matir the peirots that had Hanatza. They're already peirots, they're already growing, so of course it's going to be matir. So says Gemara Elas, what you have to say is that the suffix is Hanatza da'ala v'chanata da'ala, the leaves of the tree of the had Hanatza. Do they have a din of leaves that had chanata? And the suffix is miavi ki ashrasha alo. Do we view the hanata sa'olim of a fruit tree like the hashrasha of grain, and therefore the peros that are going to come out are going to be mutal gavoa al yedei this shtei alechem? Or do we say no, it's not like the taking root of grain, and therefore they're not going to be mutal gavoa until you bring shtei alechem the following year? Teku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved as well. And naktin al lechumra, again, finally, Likutei Halacha says we assume lechumra on the teku. By Rava Bar Chanan, another shayla. Yeah, okay. So, Rava Bar Rav Chanan, Chitin Shazaron Bekarka. If you have wheat that you planted in the ground and the Korban Omer passed while it was planted in the ground, Omer Matiran or in Omer Matiran? Will the Omer be Matir grain that is currently buried underground? So the Gemara assumes that the Safek is when it comes to that which grows from this planting, whether the Omer is Matir, that which comes out of this planting. Say, Echidami, what's the case exactly? Ida Ashrush, if it already took root, Tanina. So we know that there were the halacha in the Mishnah that whatever ready to root, the Omer is matir. Idelo ashrush, tanina. And if it didn't take root yet, we know that from the Mishnah as well. What Mishnah? Ditanan. We're going to have a Mishnah in tomorrow's daf. Imishrishu called them la Omer, Omer matiran, vimla, vasurnach, you have Omer abba. That if they took root before the carbon Omer, the Omer is matir that grain. If they didn't take root before the carbon Omer is not matir that grain. What kind of shayla? Says Marlot Sricha. Now the case is, you cut this wheat and you replanted it before the Omer. You cut wheat from the Tvua Chadasha that took root after last year's Korban Omer, so it has not yet been Hutar al Yedeya Korban Omer, and Hedyot's not even allowed to eat it until this year's Korban Omer, and then you planted that wheat in the Karka just before this year's Korban Omer, and now the Korban Omer happens while it's underground. Not what grows from it. Can you pull it out from under the ground and eat from it? Do we assume it's what difference does it make if I put it in a jug in my pantry, or what difference does it make if it's underground? Either way, the Omer is matirit. Or do we assume no? When it's underground, it becomes part of the karka, so the Omer is not matir karka. Another suffix of Rava Bar Rav Chanan about chitin that are planted in the ground is whether we view them as metaltlin or view them as karka. I mean, it's the same issue. Do we view them as batel to the karka? Yeshlen onaa o ein lahen onaa. There are rules of karka that are different than metaltlin. If there's ein onaa bekarkaos, there's no din of onaa of mispricing things when it comes to karkaos. So what about if you misprice the wheat that you've put under the ground and you're selling it now? So do we assume yesh onaa or ein onaa? Says Mar Hechidami. If the case is that he claimed that he put six core of wheat in the ground, and it turns out that Edom come and say, no, he only put five, so whatever he's telling you he has in there, he's misrepresenting. Now, whenever it's a very specific number, you say, I'm giving you X number of something, and that's the way you sell it, and you're off even by a little bit, even on karka there would be bitul mekach immediately, because the number is like just so easy to tell, right? If the package of plastic bags says 50 bags in the package and you count and there are 48, so that's a bitul mekach. I'm told that that's standard, that's what companies do, that's how they make money, that they no one counts, so that kaseder, that's what they do. I don't know, I never counted. So ela da amarlei shadai ba kedibayla. So, no, what happened was, he said, I planted the field, whatever it needed, I planted enough. And witnesses came and said, no, he didn't put enough in, he could have maximized much more. Yesh leno no, to command the shadi b'kad yadamya, or yesh leno no, odum abatul gabeara. Do we assume it's like it's in a jug, meaning it's in a kli, the fact that it's underground doesn't make it karka, and therefore it's subject to ona? Or do we assume, no, since it's planted underground, it is the ground, and karka doesn't have ona'a. And chaps another nafkamina, whether it's considered karka or not. Nishbayin alein oe nishbayin alein. Can you take a shavu on it? Let's say I tell you owe me $100, I come and I claim that you owe me $100. You say, no, I only owe you 50. So that's a modem mitzvah, it's one of the shavuos to araisa. Modem mitzvah tayini yishava. But let's say I come and I say, remember you sold me Yankee Stadium, and you said, no, I only sold you the infield, so that's your only multiple mitzvahs, right? So that you would think there's a shvua. No, ain't a shvua in al karkos. When whenever it's kaki, even in a situation where there would be a shvua d'oraisa, an eidech of kenegdo, a mod of b'mitzvah, you don't have a shvua on karka. So is this considered karka? There is one way you could have a shvua on karka. That's a third type of shvua d'oraisa, gilgul shvua. We assume there's such a notion called a gilgul shvua, that once I'm chayv shvua on, so I already had a deal with you, we had some sort of sikhsuch, and you couldn't be mashpia on me, because it was about karka. You can't be mashpia on me about karka. But then you also have a claim of money against me, and that I'm moda b'mitzvah son, or that you have an eid echad kenegdi. So now I have to take a shavua for that. Once I'm taking a shavua for that, we're megalgil in a love shavua for the karka as well. Gilgul shavua is derived from sota, because amen amen v'amri isha amen amen. So the Gemara darshins amen miish zeh v'amen miish acher. So ish acher, no one ever accused you of ish acher. No, there was never kinoi or stira of ish acher. She has to confirm that she never slept with some other guy, not this other guy, but another other guy. So that's the notion of Gilgul Shvuah, that once she's swearing about this one anyway, so we just throw in things that she has no chiyuv shvuah on. So karka would have a shvuah when al yidei Gilgul, but in a standard case, ein shvuah on alein. So kedeshadya bekadya damya, do we assume that it's like it's put in a kli ukemetaltli damu, and therefore it has a din like metaltli in shvuah on alein, so it would be subject to shvuah, odilma batalu agavara ukemekarkai damu vein shvuah on alein, or do we assume that it's bottled to the karka, and therefore you would not take a shvua. Teiku, the Gemara is not poshet this suffix either. By Rabbi Chama, chitin beglalei bakar usarin shabeglalei behema mahu. What if you have wheat shabeglalei bakar that you find in animal excrement, or you find saorim in animal excrement? So what's the din of such wheat? What do you mean? What's the din? Don't eat it. I don't recommend. Right? So lemai ilem letzmuyi tumas ochlin. Is it about the status of tumas ochlin? Whether it has a status of Tumas Ochlin Tanina. Well, we already know that from Tosefta. Chitin shebri'i bakar, sa'orin shebiglali behema. You find wheat or sa'orim in animal excrement. Chishiv alein achila. If you have a machshava that you want to use it for achila, who would do it? There were desperate times. The Gemara in Ksuvus describes how the daughter of Nakdimon Ben Gurion was malakit sa'orim ben galali behemtam shalarvim. So there were desperate times after the Churban where people were so nebuch, desperate for food. There was a story in the news yesterday, some kid in California took the ashes of his grandfather or something and baked it into cookies and distributed it over. Right? So there are sick people and there are desperate times. So the shaila is, a person is mechashev, he has a machshava that he's going to use it for food. So, ein metame tumas ochlin. Nah, that doesn't make it food. But lekatan la'achila, he actually pulls it out of the excrement in order to use it for food. He did a maisa metame tumas ochlin. Now it is metame tumas ochlin. So that's not the shaila. Elo l'menachas. The shaila is using it for a carbon mincha. Here you found this grain in the excrement of an animal. Can you use it for a carbon mincha? So pshita tala, of course not. Hakriveinu olaf achasecha yirtzcha yisapanecha. Pasuk tells us, would you bring this to your governor? Whatever you wouldn't bring to an important official, you don't bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says, malo tzvicha dinaktinu vizarinu. The case is, you took the wheat out of the excrement, and then you replanted it in the ground, and now it's growing. So v'kabayi lasi menachas mina, you want to bring carbon mincha, not from the wheat that was in the excrement, but from that which grew from the wheat that was in the excrement. You figure it comes pre-fertilized. So my, so what's the din? Mishum demi asusuhu v'kivin tazarinu azul m'yasusayhu. Do you assume that it's because it's disgusting and once you plant it in the ground, the disgustingness goes away? Odilma mishum chishusahu. Or is it not about it being disgusting? It's just so weakened by going through the digestive system of an animal and v'hashanami chusha. So it remains in its weakened state when some growth comes from it. So teku, so the Gemara does not resolve that either. Peel shabalak fifa mitzvahs. What if you have an elephant that swallows a basket, vehikia derech beis harei mahu, and then it goes through the digestive system and it comes out the other end of the elephant? What's the halachic status of that basket? So again, lemai, what kind of shayla? What are we asking about? Hilchos what? So says Gemara, I lemelim vatel tumasa. If you're asking about that the kfifa was tame before the elephant swallowed it, and you want to know, does it remain tame after it went through the entire digestive system of an elephant? So Tanina, guess what? There's a Mishnah about that. Kala kelim yardin de tumasim b'machshava. All kelim, if a person has a machshava that it's a kli and that he's done making it and that he wants to use it as a kli, it is now subject to tumah. Vein olam itumasim el b'shinu meisa. But it cannot lose its tumah status unless it goes through an actual shinu meisa, unless you do something to it like breaking it. So over here, there was no shinu meisa that was done to this kfifa. It just went through an interesting experience of the digestive system of an elephant, but there's no one broke it ever. So then there's no shaila; it's still tamei. So lo tzricha debala hutzin va'avdinu kfifa mitzvus. No, the shaila is the elephant swallowed reeds and then excreted them, and then you made from that a basket. So what's the status of that basket? Is that a reed basket? I mean, it looks like one. It looks like it's made out of regular reeds, but miyavi equal. Do we assume that that it's considered to be something that is digested by the elephant, and therefore havalei kekli galalim? It would have the status of a kli that's made out of galalei behema, that's made out of animal excrement, ukekli adama, or like a kli that's made out of mud. They in mekablin tuma, and therefore would not be mekablin tuma. The mark kli avanim kli galalim kli adama in mekablin tuma lo midivri tov lo midivri sofrim, because halach is that such kelim are not mekablin tuma, not midoraisa, not midrabanan. Al dim lo avi equal. Do we say that that's not considered digested food of an animal? It's considered a basket that's a reed. So it's still a reed. It looks like a reed, so it's still a reed, and therefore it's mekablin tuma. So says Mar, where can we
bring it?
What? Yes. Because it's a bizayin, because it's cheap. It's just a regular kfifa mitzvah. That was the standard. So this was an unusual thing. So the Gemara says, Tifshalei, where can we find the answer to the shaila? Mehadam rul mishumer b'shumer yod tzadik, maiso balu ze'evim shnei tinokos be'var yarden, Nebuch, Rachman al-Tzlan, two ze'evim swallowed, or two children in Ever Yarden, and then they excreted the flesh and the bones of these children. Ubam ma'isel fnei chachamim. So they asked the chachamim, is there tumas meis on these bones and this flesh? V'tiaru es habasar, and the chachamim were metaher the basar from tumas meis. So you see, why was it? Because it's no longer human flesh. It's gone through this process. Once it's gone through this digestive system of an animal, it's not considered human flesh anymore. So the same should be true of these reeds that have gone through the digestive system of an elephant. Says Marano, shiny basar derakich. When an animal eats meat, its meat is soft, so it gets completely digested, it gets completely broken down, and therefore it's clearly not going to be considered meat anymore. But the reeds are pretty much the same. So says Rav Lifshut Misefa. Oh, good. So then we have an answer from the Seifa of that same Mishnah. It says Vitimus Atzamos. Same story with the wolves that swallowed the children. The Chum said that the Atzamos, the bones, are actually Tameh. That is considered human remains. So maybe the reeds also should be unchanged by going through this process. Says no, Shiny Atzamos Da Kushe Tvei. Atzamos are different. Bones are different because bones are even harder. The thing, the tricky part about the reeds is that it's somewhere in between, that it's not 100% one way or the other. So says Gemara, another shaila. Bai Rabbi Zeira, chitin sheyardu ba'avim. If you have wheat that came down in the clouds, mahu, what's the din? So says Gemara, lamai, what's the suffix about wheat that comes down in the clouds? Ilu menachos samai lo. Why wouldn't it be kosher for a kavur mincha? So the lechora, that's a little bit strange for the Gemara to even say that. How could you be makshir chitim, like these chitim from menachos? They came down with rain in the clouds. Lechora, there at least chametz and kol menachos bo's matzah. Menachos have to come from matzah. So the Biyuda in a tshuva in Madura Tinyana discusses this issue. And the Nod Biyuda writes in Tinyana Archaim Simin Samach Zayin that we're going to see soon. There's Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. What happened exactly? How did this come down? So Rashi describes that it was a natural phenomenon. It says that when the clouds went over the Atlantic Ocean or whatever, went over the Pacific, they go over the ocean, they pick up, all the water evaporates. It accidentally chopped a boat along with it, and the boat was full of wheat. So it didn't just chop the water from the ocean to now. So it chopped the boat, and now coming down with the rain, so it was just part of a natural process. Tosfos says, no, it was a nace. It just came down in Minas Shemayim, that it came down down in the clouds. So Nadav Yehuda says that, that according to Tosfos, it's not a kasha at all, because it came down min hashamayim without rain. It had nothing to do with rain, so there's no water. But he says even according to Rashi, it could be that it was in bags, it was protected in some way from the water. Okay, so that's the shayla. So is it so if it's about menachos, there's no shayla. Why wouldn't it be kosher for menachos? Elo l'shtei alechem. No, the suffix is to bring it for the shtei alechem. Why? My mimosh v'seichem omer rachmana. The Torah dafka says that shtei alechem is supposed to come mimosh v'seichem la'afukei to chutzlaritz to low, but grain that comes from chutzlaritz that grew in chutzlaritz cannot be brought. Avodavim shapir davi. But if it comes down in the clouds, that's perfectly fine. Odilma mimosh v'seichem dafka va'afil dav nami lo. Or maybe no, it has to be mimosh v'seichem. It's not mimosh v'seichem la'afukei chutzlaritz. It's mimosh v'seichem that it's got to come from Eretz Yisrael, from the ground of Eretz Yisrael. And if it comes from the clouds, it may not be from Chutz La'aretz, but it's not from the ground of Eretz Yisrael either. So that's the Shaila, what we learn from Moshe Hosechem. So Tosfos says, I don't understand the suffix. If the Chitim grew in a boat in Chutz La'aretz, then it's possible that it's possible for the Shtei Alechem. How could you be Machshir them? Meaning, what's Rashi talking? Rashi says that the case is a boat was swallowed. If the boat came from Chutz La'aretz, obviously it's not okay. And that's why Tosfos says that Yard Ba'avim means that it was Al Yidei Nei, that just came down out of nowhere, min hashamayim, and that's the shaila about that wheat. So Tzon Kachim writes that the reason Rashi doesn't say like Tosfos that it came al yidei neis is because he's medayik lashon on the Gemara chitim shiardu ba'avim. If Tosfos were correct, it should have said chitim shiardu min hashamayim, which is the normal lashon that we would say of things that just fall out of the sky. But yardu min ha'avim makes it sound like it's describing some sort of natural process. And the Gemara, in fact, asks, Umi'ika kiagavna? Does this ever really happen? I mean, if it was a nes, the Gemara wouldn't ask that. Nisim happened, and we can't predict exactly what the nisim are going to be. No, umi'ika kiagavna? Does it ever, such a natural thing ever happen? Says Gemara, yeah, it happens. Kida Adi Tayoy, like this famous story of Adi, the traveling merchant, Nechisle Rom Kizba Chiti Betlosa Parsi. He had so much wheat fell in his field that in a span of 3 parcels of land, he had a tefach high of wheat that fell in his field. So you see that it could happen, that such things could happen. It may sound unusual because it is unusual, but it's not impossible. Now Rabbeinu Tam said that he doesn't understand we pointed out before that Rabbeinu Tam, Balei HaTosfos, don't understand the suffix over here, if it's kosher from Menachos or not. If it didn't grow in Eretz Yisrael, it's obviously not Mimosh V'Seichem. So just because it came down in clouds in Eretz Yisrael, so it must be that it's Al Yudei Neis. So in the Sefer Yemei Chanukah, they quote from many Svarim, they quote a kasha from Chaim Brisker, where Chaim asks how the Chashmonaim were allowed to light the menorah on Chanukah with shemen that was made Al Yudei Neis. Shemen Al Yudei Neis is shemen Neis, it's not shemen Zayis. So and the pasuk says, the Torah says explicitly, shemen zayis zach kasis. So they say in the name of one of Reb Chaim Zeinuklech, he quotes in the Pnei Nach from a grid Soloveitchik. I don't think it means the Rav. I think it's one of the other Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchiks. That's Rav Chaim never said such a thing, because in our sugya it's pashut that chitim that come down in clouds al yidei neis are kasher l'menachos. That's what Tosfos says. He doesn't understand the shaila. Of course, it's going to be kasher l'menachos. It's only the gabi shtei alechem where there's a specific requirement of mi mosh losechem. So some of the achronim say, no. There's a big difference. Shemen that didn't come from a zayis is if shemen just comes out of nowhere, it didn't come, so it's not shemen zayis, even if it's shemen. Chitim doesn't have to come from the ground, it just has to be chitim, even if it comes from a cloud. But the shemen has to come from a zayis, that's part of the requirement, which is an interesting idea. We were with Rav Asher Weiss yesterday, and a number of Rabbanim, one of the Rabbanim asked him about the meat that they make out of cells now. They're able to grow meat. So is it basa, is it basa in terms of basa b'chalav? Is it, what about kashrus? So he said, there's some sort of saying, if it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, right? He says, if it's meat, it's meat, right? That if it's, we have a lot of imitation things, but that's exactly what they are. They're imitation. And they don't react chemically like meat. They don't, you have a chalav shkedim. It's not chalav. It's almonds. It's just the fact that it's white is what we call it chalav. But it's not, it's clearly not chalav. But this is meat. So everything is based on what it actually is. If it, so that's not l'chora, not 100% pashut that's the case. Now that's l'chora what Reb Chaim was saying, that there's a shemenes. I never asked such a shayla. Of course shemenes is fine. Who cares where it comes from? If it is shemen, if it physically is shemen, then it's shemen. I don't care if it comes from a nes. A very similar svara to what Rav Asher Weiss, and that's what he said. That's what he told us. He paskined for the OU in that shayla. Okay, we'll stop there, and Bezrat Hashem will pick up with the Bar Reb Shimon Ben Pazi tomorrow. Thank you.